Welcome to According to Sam, folks. This is episode 201. I hope you guys had a great weekend. I am going to pick up where we left off in the last podcast. We're still talking about Ukraine in this podcast. I had hoped that I was going to get back into talking about the Mesopotamian history that I want to cover with you so we can start talking about the conflict in the Middle East, what's going on in Israel, and we will get to that. I don't know that it will be even in the next podcast because I started going down this road of telling you what I really believe that the war in Ukraine is about, and our conflict, our proxy war with Russia. And we're going to get back into that today, probably in the next podcast as well. And then we'll see if we can finish up with this by the end of the week on Friday. It looks like the aid, well, we'll see. We're going to talk about it in this podcast. It looks like there's going to be something happening here in the next week or so. And Zelensky, on here, let's get started today. Zelensky has said that it's a dire need, that he needs this aid immediately. It's the headline. And this was just yesterday. Desperate Zelensky warns Ukraine will lose the war if Congress does not send aid. So does that mean if we do send aid, then you're going to win the war? Don't be ridiculous. You're not going to win the war. So it doesn't matter how much aid we send. You're not going to win the war. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky implores the U.S. to approve more military funding for his country on Sunday. This was yesterday, warning that Ukraine would lose the war without it. About to lose. So time is of the essence. And I believe from what I'm seeing, there will be something happening in the next week or so. So hopefully we can wrap this up on Friday. Maybe they will already have passed a package by then. And then we can get into Mesopotamian history and start talking about the Jews next week. We're going to start today's podcast with a clip from The View. This is from today. And Whoopi Goldberg is laying out her theology. She's giving us a little theological lesson here in this clip. And this segment on The View, they're talking about the abortion issue. Donald Trump came out with a statement on his view on abortion moving forward for this campaign. So that was the topic of this conversation. And I want you to listen to what Whoopi Goldberg says here.
I want to make sure that if you decide this is what you need to do, I'm going to get behind you because I don't know your life.
And she's talking about abortion.
You say this is what you need, that's what I'm going to do. 50 weeks, 75,000 weeks, whatever, how many weeks, it's nobody's business. It's you, your doctor, and God. That's who you have to be conversation.
So she, with. I mean, she really didn't even have to introduce God into it. She could have just said, this is between you and your doctor. And, but she, again, she's giving us her theological point of view. So that's, she entered God into it. You, your doctor, and God. We're talking about abortion.
Conversational to it. And it's not mentioned in the Big Ten, I'm just going to say.
No.
In the Big Ten. It is not mentioned.
The commandments?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because no. I figure God was pretty clear. Here's the stuff that'll make your life better on earth. Here's the thing. Don't lie, because you don't want people lying to you. Don't mess with somebody's wife, because you're going to be mad if they're messing with yours. Just, you know,
the evangelicals
common sense stuff.
Would say, thou shalt not kill.
They believe that.
Yes, well, here's the thing. I think thou shalt not kill cannot be used as the block, because we allow wars all the time.
Yes, we do.
The Crusades,
we allow the death penalty,
were about all these things.
We allow guns.
Yes. So there is some conversation to be had here. So you can either.
There is some conversation to be had here, Whoopi. There's some conversation to be had here. Now, first of all, Whoopi's smart enough to know that in the Ten Commandments, it can't say thou shall not kill, because the Jews went to war. They went to war many times, and God sanctioned the war. God also sanctioned them offering burnt offerings to God, to honor God. That's what the Passover was about. You sacrifice a lamb. You have to kill the lamb and put the blood of the lamb over the doorposts annually. To this day, Jews who still observe Orthodox Judaism, that's this huge controversy in New York where they slaughter chickens because they are fulfilling what the Torah says about animal blood sacrifices. And when we start talking about Mesopotamian history and start talking about the Jews, we're going to talk about blood sacrifice and how God sanctions blood sacrifice. And so you can't. So what she's saying here is that the Ten Commandments, it can't be thou shalt not kill, because we fight wars and we're killing in wars. And Sonny Hostin brought up the death penalty, and we use the death penalty. So that can't be what the scripture is talking about. So she's smart enough to know that. The scripture actually says, thou shalt not murder, not kill. But Whoopi Goldberg here is right, that if you are someone who claims to respect life, life in the womb, then you should also respect life and life on the battlefield. I care as much about a baby in the womb as I care about the Ukrainians getting, you know, sent to the meat grinder in Ukraine, and the Russians. I care about the Russian soldiers as well. I mean, as someone who respects life, then I also am an advocate for peace. And I don't know where everyone is that is against sending more aid to Ukraine, but where I am, I don't want to send more aid to Ukraine, because if when we send more aid and more weapons, that only encourages more war. More people are going to die. That doesn't encourage peace and ending this war, which is what I am an advocate of. This picture right here, guys. These three guys, the three Mikes. These two Mikes right here. Michael McCall from Texas, and Mike Turner from Ohio. These are the biggest war hawks in the Republican caucus. These are the ones, this guy, Mike Turner, he's the chair of the Intelligence Committee, and Michael McCall, he's the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee. They are the ones who are putting most of the pressure on the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. The three Mikes here, they're the ones that are pushing this. These are the hawks right here in the Republican caucus pushing for more aid to Ukraine. Michael McCall and Michael Turner are the biggest advocates in the Republican caucus for more aid to Ukraine, for keeping this war machine going. Republicans, Michael Turner and Michael McCall, Texas, Ohio. Michael McCall, born in Dallas, Texas. He graduated from Jesuit College Preparatory School in Dallas. He went to Trinity, his district. This is Michael McCall's district, just so you know, just in case you live in it, so you know that your congressmen is supporting more aid to Ukraine and cares more about Ukraine than he cares about your district here just east of Austin, as far north as College Station, just on the outskirts of Houston and Sugar Land. I was just in this area 2 weeks ago. I made the drive from Waco to Houston. There is nothing here. And this area could use a lot of resources. But your congressman, Michael McCaul, if you live here in this area, he also, now this is a real rich area right here. It's really funny that this is his district. So if you know anything about Austin, West Austin and in the Hill Country over here, this his district splits from this. Basically, there's nothing here but ranch land, farmland, ranchers. There's no urban life in this area. You have the college here in College Station. But on this side of his district, this is all big money. Most of these people are probably Democrats, quite frankly. This is West Austin. But if you live in this area, in any of this area, your congressman supports keeping the war going in Ukraine. He supports more funding to Ukraine, and he supports putting you on the verge of World War III. And his name is Michael McCaul, this guy. All right? Mike Turner, he's from Ohio, from the Dayton area. This is his district. If you live in Dayton, Ohio, or any of the surrounding areas as far north as Springfield, then your congressman is Mike Turner. And Mike Turner is a war hawk. It says right here, Turner served as the president of NATO Parliamentary Assembly from 2014 to 2016. War hawk for NATO. He supports 100% more funding to Ukraine, keeping the war going in Ukraine, putting us on the verge of World War III by intensifying the conflict with Russia. Mike Turner supports this. So this is your congressman if you live in Dayton, Ohio. So Michael McCaul, this guy right here, gave an interview last week. And I want you to listen to this clip about what Michael McCaul said to this reporter in this interview. And then Mike Turner is being asked about the comments that Michael McCaul made in this print interview. This is CNN from Sunday. Take a listen.
What he says sounds like Russian propaganda from some conservative media, and why it's so difficult to explain to Republican voters why supporting Ukraine is important. He told Julia Yaffe, quote, "I think Russian propaganda has made its way into the United States, unfortunately, and it's infected a good chunk of my party's base." He singled out primetime shows on conservative channels. Do you agree with him? And how big is this problem?
I think Russian, this is what McCaul says in this interview. I think Russian propaganda has made its way into the United States. Unfortunately, it's affected a good chunk of my own party's base. So he's talking about people like me, people in the Republican Party, the isolationists that I was telling you about in the last podcast, that we're infected by Russian propaganda. Not that we've looked at the issues of Ukraine, that we understand what happened in 2014 and what happened in 2004 and what has been happening since 2014 until the invasion in 2022, that we've watched people dying and Russia just take more ground. We've watched this war go nowhere, that we're not making informed decisions based on the information when we are against more aid to Ukraine, that we are subject to Russian propaganda. These are Republicans pushing Russiagate. This is what they said in 2016 about Trump supporters when they were calling him a Russian, and you had the Mueller investigation going on. They were calling everyone that online, when before Elon bought Twitter, on every website, they were saying that that you were a Russian propagandist if you didn't believe that Russia meddled in the 2016 election, or that you're doing Vladimir Putin's work, or the Russians are pushing racism in the country, and the Russians were responsible for everything. Now you have these guys, Michael McCaul, pushing it, Republicans. And then listen to what Mike Turner, also a Republican, says.
Has made its way into the United States, unfortunately, and it's infected a good chunk of my party's base. He singled out primetime shows on conservative channels. Do you agree with him? And how big is this problem?
No, it is absolutely true. We see directly coming from Russia attempts
it's
to
absolutely
mask
true.
Communications that are anti.
It's absolutely true, is what Mike Turner says, that Russian propaganda that the people within the Republican Party, he's a member of the Republican Party, people within the Republican Party who don't want to continue the war in Ukraine are victims of Russian propaganda.
Propaganda has made its way into the United States, unfortunately, and it's infected a good chunk of my
now,
party's base.
This is propaganda. What Mike McCaul and Mike Turner are pushing, they're the ones pushing propaganda, American propaganda, whatever you want to call it, NATO propaganda. But these guys are the ones pushing the propaganda.
He singled out primetime shows on conservative channels. Do you agree with him? And how big is this problem?
Oh, it is absolutely true. We see directly coming from Russia attempts to mask communications that are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages, some of which we even hear being uttered on the House floor. I mean, there are members of Congress today who still incorrectly say that this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is over NATO, which, of course, it is not. Vladimir Putin having made it very clear, both publicly and to his own population, that his view is that this is a conflict of a much broader claim of Russia to Eastern Europe, and including claiming all of Ukraine territory as Russia's.
So it's claiming all. So Vladimir Putin wants to claim all Ukrainian territory as Russian. Then why didn't he annex the Donbass when the Donbass declared their independence in 2016? Why did it take him 8 years to annex the Donbass when they declared their independence in 2016? If he wants to take over all of Ukraine, if that's what he said, Mike Turner, but Putin has said nothing. So this is what needs to happen. These guys, Mike Turner and Michael McCaul and the other war hawks within the Republican Party, they need to have debates with the isolationists. We need to have open debates, and we need to talk about the facts. We need to have people on one side that don't support any more funding to Ukraine and want to push Ukraine and force Ukraine into a peace deal. Those people need to debate the people like Mike McCaul and Mike Turner. Let's see who's propagandized. Let's see who's pushing propaganda. Because I'm telling you that it's this guy. It's Mike Turner and Michael McCaul. You remember Mike Turner, again, he's the chair of the Intelligence Committee, okay? You remember after the Senate, and the timing on this is key, after the Senate passes this huge package, this $60 billion for Ukraine, $95 billion in total, $35 trillion in debt, again, as soon as the Senate passed this, this guy, who is the head of the Intelligence Committee, he releases this cryptic message to the press that he has new intelligence about Russian capabilities in space with space nukes and all this stuff. Turner defends releasing cryptic statement about Russian nuclear capabilities in state. And then he says, I was concerned that it appeared that the administration was sleepwalking us into an international crisis. No, fool, you're taking us into an international crisis. You're the one pushing us closer and closer into World War III and escalating this. And then he puts out this intelligence. There were members of his own party that wanted to censor him for this because he put this intelligence out to try to force backlash to get the House of Representatives to put the bill on the floor to pass it. This is what this guy does. So, Mike McCaul, Mike Turner, Mike Johnson, these are the guys, the Mikes, the three Mikes. These are the guys that are pushing for escalation of the war in Ukraine, and they're the ones pushing us closer and closer to World War III. This article came out in the Washington Post this weekend, and it was a big deal. They don't know for sure what Trump's plan is, but I'm pretty sure this is Trump's plan. It mirrors what, if you remember, Elon Musk, we talked about a few weeks ago, Elon Musk's peace plan. So the plan that the Washington Post writes about here, this secret plan that Trump has to end the war and bring peace, pretty much mirrors what Elon Musk tweeted out in his poll. But inside Donald Trump's secret plan to end the war in Ukraine, because that's what we want. We want to end the bloodshed, end the fighting, end the waste of money, end the war in Ukraine. That's what we want. So Washington Post is writing this exclusive about how Donald Trump plans to end the war in Ukraine. He's the only one talking about ending this war. No one else is talking about ending this war. Foreign policy experts and some Republicans warn that pressuring Ukraine to cede land would reward Putin. Now, the people in these regions that Elon Musk tweeted about over a year ago, the people of Donbass and Crimea, they don't want to be part of Ukraine anymore. Why would they want to be part of a country that people that teach their children to chant at school, hang them? Why would they want to be a part of that country? They don't want to be a part of that country. So that's Trump's plan. That's the plan that Trump is what the Washington Post is saying, his secret plan. Here I have the author of this article from the Washington Post here. Let's take a listen.
Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Russian imperialism, which of course has been a characteristic of Russian forces.
Okay, this is MSNBC, and they start the clip off playing Ronald Reagan and playing Nixon talking about Russia, but they're not talking about Russia. They're talking about the Soviet Union. There is no more Soviet Union. This is not the Russia today is not the Soviet Union. Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden reset our relationship with Russia in 2009. The Russian reset. So everything that we're viewing Russia from today, this is why we need to have a debate. We need to have Michael McCall and Mike Turner in front of people like me that, who are going to argue this side and say everything that we're viewing Russia from today goes from 2009 to today because we reset our relationship in 2009. So we're not looking at anything about Russia prior to 2009 because Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden reset our relationship in 2009. So bringing up Nixon and Ronald Reagan talking about the Soviet Union, that has no relevance to this Russia and what's going on today.
Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Russian imperialism, which of course has been a characteristic of Russian foreign policy for centuries.
I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin, and I'm certainly not going to say to him, I'll give you more flexibility after the election.
First of all, we've got to realize what Vladimir Putin is. He's an
Mitt Romney McCain
wants to restore the Russian Empire.
Yeah, he was a KB. He was a KGB. When in 2009, Putin became president of Russia in 2000. He had already been president for 9 years when your boy Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton reset our relationship. So they knew he was KGB in 2009 when they reset our relationship with Russia. So you saying that he's ex-KGB, that means nothing to me, John McShane.
He's an old KGB colonel that wants to restore the Russian Empire.
According to our intelligence services, the Russian
government... Look at these guys. Okay, so they start off with Ronald Reagan. Okay, Nixon. Okay. But then they go to Mitt Romney, John McCain, George Bush. These guys, their names... These people are mud. In the Republican Party. They're Democrats. These people aren't welcome in the Republican Party anymore.
Project of turning Americans against each other.
Ancient history, relics of a bygone era, what Republicans used to say and sound like when they talked about Russia. Now, though, Donald Trump's allies in Congress seem downright eager to do Vladimir Putin's bidding, to say what Putin would want them to say. And it turns out, as of today, even some Republican lawmakers agree with that. After House Foreign Affairs Chairman Michael McCaul told Puck News that Russian propaganda had, quote, infected a good chunk of his party's base, yesterday, House Intelligence Chair Michael Turner agreed with that. Watch.
We see directly coming from Russia attempts to mask communications that are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages, some of which we even hear being
uttered
on the House floor. I mean, there are members of Congress today who still incorrectly say that this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is over NATO, which, of course, it is not. To the extent that this propaganda takes hold, it makes it more difficult for us to really see this as an authoritarian versus democracy battle, which is what it is.
No, it's not an authoritarian versus democracy. I mean, when's the last time Ukraine had elections? Russia just had elections 2 weeks ago. Russia just had elections two weeks ago. When's the last time Ukraine had elections? What do you mean that this is so this is what I'm talking about. This is what, so someone needs to be standing in front of Mike Turner, not Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper's not going to debate him on this. Jake Tapper is going to be pushing his message. That's the whole reason that he's on this show. Jake Tapper's not going to put. So Michael Turner needs to be having a real debate with someone who is a fierce advocate for peace. Someone who understands the facts about Ukraine the way that I do. Someone who knows that Ukraine is not a democracy. And that it's ridiculous to view it in these terms of democracy versus autocracy.
For us to really see this as an authoritarian versus democracy battle, which is what it is.
Wow. Turner's concerns trace right back to the MAGA wing of his own party, one evidently taking orders from the boss. And now the Washington Post reports this, quote, Trump has privately said he could end Russia's war in Ukraine by pressuring Ukraine to give up some territory. That's according to people familiar with the plan. Joining our conversation,
that's what's going to happen.
Isaac Arnsdorf, national political reporter for the Washington Post. He's bylined on that new reporting about Trump's quote unquote plan to end the war in Ukraine. He's also the author of a new book out tomorrow called Finish What We Started, the MAGA Movement's Ground War to End Democracy. We'll get to that in a second. Take me inside this reporting. I mean, this has been, I think, obvious to people not serving under the banners, or maybe it was obvious to them. I mean, take me to how we got to this breakthrough.
Well, I mean, basically, Trump sees two sides. Russia wants all of Ukraine. Ukraine wants Ukraine.
That's ridiculous that Russia wants all of Ukraine. Someone needs to explain to me that if Russia wants all of Ukraine, why didn't they annex? This needs to be the question that is asked if we're in a debate and someone says something silly like what this guy just said. And what you heard Mike Turner also said in a clip, the CNN clip, that Russia wants all of Ukraine. Someone needs to ask these people when they say this, if that's the case, why did Russia enter into the Minsk agreements? Why did Russia refuse to annex the Donbass in 2016 or 2014 when they voted to declare their independence? What's the answer to that question?
So Trump sees an opportunity to make a deal there. And as when he was president the first time, he sees an opportunity. He thinks if, based on the force of his charisma and his negotiating skills, if he gets both sides in a room, he can make a deal. They can have a splashy announcement. And the details are not exactly what he's focused on.
And his plan, we should be clear, is to do something Zelensky is not for, to give up parts of Ukraine.
Right. Zelensky has said under no circumstances will he agree to territorial concessions.
I mean, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. I heard people online, I saw people online saying this, that, you know, well, it's not up to Trump. It's up to Ukraine. Trump can't, you know, make Ukraine give up Crimea and Donbass. I started laughing when I saw that, when I read that. It's hilarious. Are you crazy? Zelensky doesn't have any power. This guy's begging. Desperate Zelensky warns Ukraine will lose the war if Congress doesn't send more aid. Does that sound like somebody who can make decisions? Who can say what they're going to give up and what they're not going to give up and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do? Desperate Zelensky warns Ukraine will lose war if Congress doesn't send more aid. He didn't have any power. He's going to do what Trump says that to do. Just like Biden has the power right now to end this war if he wants to. Biden has that power. But the difference between Biden and Trump is that Trump wants peace and Biden wants war.
And the details are not exactly what he's focused on.
And his plan, we should be clear, is to do something Zelensky is not for, to give up parts of Ukraine.
Right. Zelensky has said under no circumstances will he agree to territorial concessions. Trump is publicly what he says is, you know, I could solve this in 24 hours even before I take office, but I'm not going to tell you how. It's a secret. And what we were able to figure out through people that he's shared this with privately is that the idea is basically he thinks that some territory, specifically Crimea and the Donbas border region, he could see Ukraine giving that to Russia and the war would end.
Yep. That's exactly what Elon said. That's what Elon said over a year ago. That the people in Donbass and the people in Crimea, they don't want to be part of Ukraine anymore. And that's your fault. You staged the coup. You started persecuting them. You tried to outlaw the Russian language. You went to war with them over the last 8 years, 10 years now, bombing them, persecuting them. Teaching your children to chant "Hang the Russians" at school. They witnessed all of that. And the people of Crimea and the people of Donbass don't want to be part of Ukraine anymore. And this is going to be the settlement when it's all over. What Elon tweeted over a year ago and what Trump's plan, as far as the Washington Post can determined by interviewing people that Trump has told this to, that in the end, that Ukraine will be giving up Donbass and Crimea, and it's your own fault, and it's going to happen, and it doesn't matter what Zelensky says. It doesn't matter. Ukraine is a vassal state. Ukraine doesn't have the ability to make decisions by themselves. Desperate Zelensky warns Ukraine will lose war if Congress. Does that sound like a sovereign nation? Like they have sovereignty, like they can demand what the terms of the agreement are. No, this is going to be the agreement right here when it's all said and done. This is another mic here. He's a Republican representative out of New York. This is his district, Northern New York, borders Connecticut here. If you live in this district, in Northern New York, your congressman is a war hawk, and he supports continuing the war in Ukraine, sending them more aid, more death, more dying. This guy right here, Michael Lawler. I want you to take a listen to Michael Lawler here in an interview on CNN. I guess this was last week.
With me now to talk about that and more is Republican Congressman Mike Lawler of New York. Thank you so much for being here.
What's up with all these mics, though? What's up, Mike Lawler, Mike Turner, Mike Johnson, Mike McCall? Hey, what's up with all the Mike Warhawks?
Let's start with Ukraine. The speaker says he is determined to find a path forward. He is under intense pressure from the far right. You have been calling for him to allow a vote for weeks now. Has he given you any commitment that this vote will happen when the House returns from recess?
I believe there will be a vote when we get back from the Easter recess. Certainly, this is critically important for our allies. We are the leader of the free world, and we cannot.
How are we the leader of the free world when we're $35 trillion in debt? Like, how are we the leader of the free world when, you know, we can't pay our bills. The burden on Americans and their standard of living is growing more and more burdensome. I don't understand. What is this leader of the free world? I don't get that. We can't afford to be the leader of the free world anymore. We're $35 trillion in debt. Mike.
From the Easter recess, this is critically important for our allies. We are the leader of the free world, and we cannot shirk on our responsibility to uphold and defend democracies across the globe.
It's not a democracy. Again, this is why we need to have a debate. Someone other than Dana Bash and Jake Tapper and the talking heads on MSNBC, they need to be this guy, Mike Lawler, Mike Turner, Mike McCall. They need to be standing in front of people that know what's going on and who are going to challenge them when they say things like Ukraine is a democracy. Ukraine is not a democracy. Russia has had elections in the last 2 weeks. Ukraine hasn't had elections since 2019.
Our responsibility to uphold and defend democracies across the globe. It's why I introduced, along with Brian Fitzpatrick and Jared Golden, the Defending Borders, Defending Democracies Act, which would provide lethal aid to Ukraine, to Israel, to Taiwan, as well as enact serious border provisions, including remain in Mexico in Title 42.
Oh, yeah. So, that's like I was telling you, he's the guy who's helping write this bill with Speaker Johnson. And again, he's saying that we're going to do this $95 billion to Israel, Taiwan, $60 billion to Ukraine. But then we also are going to put the border stuff in there to appease these right-wingers, these isolationists that are worried about their border.
Act serious border provisions, including remain in Mexico and Title 42. And we are pushing for a vote. I have signed a discharge petition to allow for that vote. But I am hopeful that the speaker will put the bill on the floor or an amended version of the bill on the floor so that we can once and for all ensure that our allies have the aid and support that they need.
You said you're hopeful. Have you? I'm assuming you've spoken to him directly. Has he made a commitment?
I have spoken to him directly. I'm not going to delve into the details of that conversation. But I am confident that he is going to bring a bill to the floor and that we will have a vote. He understands the responsibility that we have. Look, China, Russia, and Iran are not our friends. They're not our allies. They are seeking to undermine and destabilize the free world and undermine the United States economically at every turn.
So someone you need to be having a debate with someone like me, someone who understands this stuff, because my question is going to be, if that's the case, then why does Biden still have a one China policy? Why is Biden hosting Xi Jinping here in the United States in San Francisco, cleaning up the streets for him, rolling out the red carpet for him like he's daddy? Why is China, if that's the case where you're saying, why is China still making and manufacturing all of our goods? Please explain that to me. If that's the case, that China and Russia and Iran are our big threats. Mike Lawler.
Russia and Iran are not our friends. They're not our allies.
It's funny because Bush, at the axis of evil in 2002, and it was Iran, Iraq and North Korea, and this guy just lays out a new axis of evil: Russia, China, and Iran. At least he's consistent with
Russia.
Iran
and Iran are not our friends. They're not our allies. They are seeking to undermine and destabilize the free world and undermine the United States economically at every turn.
China's making all of our stuff, buddy. They're making all of our stuff.
And so we need to push back. We need to support our allies. And if Ukraine were to fall, Russia successful in this endeavor, that would have a catastrophic impact on Eastern Europe.
I disagree. I think that that's ridiculous what you're saying, and you need to be sitting across for somebody that can debate you on this, someone like my man Jeffrey Sachs here. Jeffrey Sachs is a American economist, public policy analyst, professor at Columbia University, where he formed the director of the Earth Institute, where he was the former director of the Earth Institute. He is known for his work on sustainable development, economic development, and the fight of poverty. So he's a professor at Columbia. This guy's pretty liberal. He's a lefty, so he's not a right winger. He's not infected with that Russian propaganda like us right wing isolationists, Mike McCall. But this is the kind of guy that you guys need to be sitting across from and having a real debate. So the plan is, and again, Jeffrey Sachs is an economist. This is what he is. So political economics, that's his field. Keynesian economics, okay? So the plan is now, the rumor has come out that instead of funding Ukraine through taxpayer dollars, because so many voters now are against the war in Ukraine and funding Ukraine, and they understand that and realize that. You know, we're all infected with the Russian propaganda or whatever. But now the plan is to seize money. Well, the money's already been seized. Money in the SWIFT bank account. The SWIFT banking group is a banking cartel that every nation uses. Many people around the world use this, and they seized billions of dollars in Russian funds in this SWIFT your banking account, or multiple accounts from Russia, and they've seized assets. And now the plan is to take this money that has been stolen from Russia, seized, and use it to fund the war against Russia and to sell their assets and use that money to fight the war. Money that they've stolen from Russia through the SWIFT banking cartel. Now they want to give that money to Ukraine, and so Ukraine can use it to execute a war. Instead of peace and calling for peace, these guys are escalating this war and plan to escalate this war in a way that, what do you think this is going to do? What effect do you think that this will have, not only for, you know, Russians? What do you think the other BRICS country? What do you think Saudi Arabia? What do you think India? What do you think China is going to say when they all use this SWIFT system, and the United States just decides to seize Russian money and then just steal it from them? What do you think is going to happen? So I want you to listen to this interview on the Hills, The Rising, and they are interviewing Jeffrey Sachs. And I want you to take a listen to what Jeffrey Sachs says here.
Support for U.S. funding for Ukraine is waning as the war enters its third year. A majority of Republicans now believe U.S. funding for Ukraine's defensive war effort is too much, a divide that's reflected in Congress, where House Republicans have repeatedly clashed with a vocal, more isolationist minority.
Isolationist.
The U.S. has sided with Ukraine from the start and has bolstered NATO by supporting Sweden and Finland's entry into the transatlantic alliance. And it looks like the Biden administration will be able to provide a fresh round of aid to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Meanwhile, GOP Speaker Mike Johnson has begun publicly laying out potential conditions for extending military aid to Ukraine. His current plan is to authorize the U.S. government to seize and sell Russian assets that have been frozen since the start of the war and use that money to finance Ukraine. Economist and Columbia professor Jeffrey Sachs joins us today to help make sense of the status of the war and this funding issue. Welcome, Professor Sachs.
Thanks. You can't make sense of this. It's a zoo. I am just hearing now, if the plan is to illegally seize Russian assets, well, kiss goodbye to America's role in the international monetary system. There are just limits to what you can do, though I don't think our members of Congress really understand much about this.
So can you speak to what you think should be happening here? Obviously, there is some friction within the Republican caucus. The Republican House has the narrowest majority in American history, which means that dissenters, which are in the minority, but which are present in the Republican Party, unlike in the Democratic Party for the most part.
I love how she says that. There's dissenters in the Republican Party, unlike the Democratic Party, because there's no dissenters in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, they're walking like drones. Oh, fund Ukraine, democracy, fund Ukraine, democracy. They have no idea what's going on. There's no dissent in the Democratic Party. There's only dissent. There's only an anti-war movement in the Republican Party, which is weird because I used to be a Democrat. And when I was a Democrat, we were anti-war. But they're not anti-war there anymore.
Majority in American history, which means that dissenters, which are in the minority, but which are present in the Republican Party, unlike in the Democratic Party for the most part, are able to exert their will, threaten to oust Mike Johnson the way they did Kevin McCarthy over this issue of foreign aid, specifically aid for Ukraine. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, this is purely money down the drain. So if they want to rip up another $61 billion, which is not chump change, they seem intent on doing it, but it will mean nothing except more destruction for Ukraine. The fact of the matter is, if you don't listen to the nonsense in our mainstream media, but listen to your show and others, people would know that this war has destroyed Ukraine, and the longer it continues, the less there will be of Ukraine. It's very simple, actually. If this goes on longer, Russia will capture more territory. If it goes on long enough, Russia will capture Odessa, Kiev. If we continue the way we're doing, and this is a Biden project that goes back 10 years now, will completely destroy Ukraine. So the idea that this is siding with Ukraine is absurd. Anyone who really follows events knows that we're not siding with Ukraine. We have paid for hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians to go to the front lines and die, for more and more territory to be lost. Because the most basic point of this war, which is that we overthrew a government in Ukraine in 2014 that wanted neutrality so that we could push NATO enlargement, was reckless, stupid, and doomed to fail. And it failed.
So he says that the war is about the coup d'etat that happened in 2014. That's what I told you. That's what Putin says. That's what Jeffrey Sachs, who's a leftist, Columbia professor, says. Now, have we all been infected with Russian propaganda? Mike McCall? Mike Turner? Is this all Russian propaganda? That the coup that we staged in 2014 is the cause of the war in Ukraine? That we caused this war? Why won't you need? You guys need to debate. You guys need to debate. Someone like me, someone like Professor Sachs here, there's many others who are making informed opinions on what is going on in Ukraine that have nothing to do with Russia propaganda. We're just not buying your propaganda. Your propaganda isn't selling. We're not buying that. So it's not Russian propaganda that you guys have a problem with. It's the fact that we're not believing your propaganda, your American propaganda. We reject it outright because we're informed and we know what's going on. Let's listen to more of Professor Sachs.
Now Biden is just trying to hide the failure to get past November but the failure is seen on the battleground every day. If the Republicans play into this, it's unbelievable. Shame on them.
Shame on
basically
them.
Basically on the right side, although Biden bludgeons them every day. You'll be the one to lose Ukraine. Well, the truth of the matter is Biden has been a disaster for Ukraine for a decade. The disaster is there in the graves of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and lost territory.
This and Russians.
Never should have happened. It was about NATO enlargement, where the Russians said no NATO on our borders. And
this is about NATO enlargement.
Of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and lost territory. This is a war that never should have happened. It was about NATO enlargement.
This is about NATO enlargement. Wow, that's weird. That's weird because
who is it? This is a conflict of a much broader claim, having made it very clear, both publicly and to his own population, that his view is that this is a conflict of a much broader claim, not pro. No, it is absolutely true. We see directly coming from Russia attempts to mask communications that are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages, some of which we even hear being uttered on the House floor. I mean, there are members of Congress today who still incorrectly say that this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is over NATO, which, of course, it is not.
So
Vladimir Putin had
Mike Turner says he's the chair of the Intelligence Committee. He says that this war is not about NATO expansion. NATO expansion is part of it. The coup d'etat in 2014 is also part of it. Professor of Columbia, professor of economics, Professor Jeffrey Sachs here says that the war is about NATO expansion. So when can we get Professor Sachs in a room with Mike Turner, Mike McCall, and let them hash it out on TV? Let us all see who's subjected to propaganda, who's wrong and who's right, who has the correct information. Then we can make an informed decision about if we're going to support this war or not without being subject to all of this Russian propaganda. More of Professor Sachs here. Take a listen.
Thousands of Ukrainians and lost territory. This is a war that never should have happened.
Never.
It was about NATO enlargement, where the Russians said no NATO on our borders. And Americans who were following this, like our CIA director,
John Brennan,
Bill Burns, who was
he's talking about Burns.
U.S. ambassador to Russia in 2008, said, "This is crazy. No way. The entire Russian political class is against this." But Biden and Obama and Hillary Clinton and Victoria Nuland, Jake Sullivan, Tony Blinken, they just barged ahead. They've wrecked everything. And now they want another $61 billion to get them past November. It's a disgrace. It's completely a disgrace.
To play devil's advocate, let me, give you the other side.
At least he's playing devil's advocate. At least this guy is doing the job of a journalist. I don't know if he agrees with Professor Sachs or not, but at least he's going to push back and play devil's advocate. You never see these guys. You never see Jake Tapper pushing back on Mike Turner playing devil's advocate. You never see that. You never see Dana Bash here, or where's Dana Bash? You ever see Dana Bash here push back on Mike Lawler, play devil's advocate? Let me play devil's advocate. There was a coup d'etat back in 2014. You never see that. But at least this guy on the Hill is pushing back against Professor Sachs. He wants to play devil's advocate. You have some form of debate the way real journalists are supposed to. And take a listen.
To respond to that. What do you say to people that maybe acknowledge there were certainly missteps with the expansion of NATO and the provocation, but nevertheless, Russia chose to respond to that with an invasion? The situation in Ukraine is due to that invasion. And so what do you say to people who think, well, but we are now responding to that invasion by funding, not committing American troops, but funding a resistance in Ukraine that wants to continue fighting?
Well, yeah, the war began 10 years ago when Victoria Nuland not only passed out cookies on Maidan, but engaged in insurrection to violently overthrow a government in Ukraine. Pretty stupid to have a regime change operation on a country with a 2,000-kilometer border with Russia. That's our American foreign policy. That's when this war started. This war didn't start in February 2022. It started in February 2014. It started with Nuland. It started with Blinken. It started with Sullivan. It started with Biden, who was a key person in that whole thing. And then the fighting went on for 10 years. And then in December 2021, Putin said, look, stop the NATO enlargement. We can avoid an escalation. I talked to the White House at that point. Nah, we don't stop anything. They just thought they had all the cards. We're going to cut them out of the SWIFT banking system. We're going to bring the economy to the knees. Bunch of nonsense by ignorant people. And so Putin escalated. He didn't start the war. He escalated the war. And within basically a week, Zelensky said, okay, we can be neutral. And the Turks mediated negotiations. And then, though, the U.S. government.
Professor Sachs sounds like he's very informed. He doesn't sound like this is Russian propaganda to me. This is the same thing I told you people that I've been laying out for weeks. Everything that he's telling you, he doesn't sound like that he's a victim of Russian propaganda at all. Sounds like he's very informed to me.
Putin escalated. He didn't start the war. He escalated the war. And within basically a week, Zelensky said, okay, we can be neutral. And the Turks mediated negotiations.
And Boris Johnson went over there and told them not to do a peace deal and to keep fighting is what happened.
And the Turks mediated negotiations. And then, though, the U.S. government wants to hide all of these facts, which are sitting out there for those who know where to find them. The U.S. intervened and told the Ukrainians, you keep fighting.
Through Boris.
And we have our senators who say this is the best money can buy because it's Ukrainians dying, not Americans. They're weakening Russia. Well, they're not weakening Russia, but they are killing Ukrainians. So this is not responding to Putin's invasion. The war started 10 years ago, and we kept refusing every off-ramp. Till this day, Robbie, you know, you hear Putin say, and if you listen, every day,
we're if you listen,
negotiations. And then these fools in the U.S. government say, there's no one to negotiate. They don't want to negotiate. And then President Putin says, oh, we're open to negotiation. Oh, there's no one to negotiate is what we hear from the U.S. side. This is just narrative. It's destroyed Ukraine, and they just rip up money like there's no tomorrow.
So our money.
$61 billion. And now I hear from you that the latest plan is to take the illegally confiscated assets of Russia, because there's no legal basis to do this, and use that. That'll be really great for the international financial system, I'll tell you, because these are people who don't think ahead one day. They just improvise day by day. And then they'll find out, oh, things don't work out so well for the U.S. dollar, the U.S. as reserve currency, for the U.S. place in the world, because these people are acting like clowns, frankly, day by day.
Payasos.
Doubling down on lost gambles and everything to tell a story so that they can get to the elections in the way they see fit.
Professor, I want to ask you about how the United States gets out of this now? Because I'm reminded of conversations that surrounded the war on Afghanistan for years, which was that we shouldn't have gotten into it. This is a mistake. But now we've destabilized the country. We are in neck deep. We can't just stop funding and abandon this project. And that's a hamster wheel of sorts, right? So there are some people that I think are going to listen to this and say, well, I agree with everything you're saying, but what do you do at this point? It's a, you know, is it just a sunk cost? Or is there some obligation to unwind this in a way that's responsible and doesn't leave Ukrainians high and dry?
Ukrainians are high and dry no matter what we do. We've killed nearly 500,000 of them through this stupid project. And the ones that that throw good money after bad are the ones themselves that are personally culpable for this. This is Biden's project. So this is the first starting point. You don't throw good lives after those already dead and good money after bad when you have an absolute failure and disaster on your hands. By the way, this is like every American effort. I'm old enough to remember Vietnam. The same words said about Vietnam. We do this over and over and over again.
There's a reason why.
Our so-called leaders have no sense, and they don't think ahead.
No, it's not because of that. It's not because of our leaders don't have any sense. And they don't. No, it's about this right here. It's about...
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That's what it's about. It's about the military-industrial complex. Professor Sachs, it's about money. That's what it's about. And they don't care how many people die. They have no respect for life. Whoopi Goldberg, no respect for life. The only thing they care about is money, is greenbacks. And I support peace. I don't support the war in Ukraine. I want that war to end immediately. Not another dime to Ukraine. And if my mind has been infected by Russian propaganda and you want to convince me otherwise, then you guys that are pushing American propaganda, you need to have debates with someone like Professor Sachs. There's many others. Have debates, have it out there and talk about the real issues, what's really going on. Don't be telling us that Russia wants to take over all of Ukraine or that they're on the march like the USSR to take over all of Europe. We have communists here in the United States. I'm worried about communism. I'm worried about communism on our universities, at our colleges. That's what I'm worried about, communism, not Russia. So we'll get back into this in the next podcast. I want to pick up where I left off in the last podcast, talking about Nixon. Talking about the military-industrial complex and laying more of this out for you. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you on Friday.